Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Daryl Ryder, he is the Browns reporter for 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Daryl, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Bill, I've given up trying to make sense of the Cleveland Browns. That's going to be my New Year's resolution for 2018.
Now, I've got to tell you, I'm going to give you the here's the disclosure here. I grew up in Cincinnati, where I learned early on if it was brown, flush it down, and that's what my dad always screamed at me. I am to the point now as a guy. Now, I grew up on Bart Starr and Packer football and Ken Anderson and Bengals football, and I remember Sam Ratigliano and Sipe and all that stuff from years gone by. But I got to tell you, I was saying this the other day. I feel bad if I'm part of that. I feel bad for Cleveland Browns fans. They have been screwed royally in this deal. This is a train wreck. So how does this thing even begin to get back on the rails?
That's a great question. I guess it starts with hiring the right people to begin with. Now, you mentioned Executive Vice President of Football Operations, Sasha Brown. He has been fired. That happened this morning around 10:30. So the search is going to go commence immediately for the next football guy to come in here and run this thing. Browns owner Jimmy Haslam saying he wants somebody with experience. I immediately said you probably should have went that route when you began to rebuild and tear down two years ago after you fired Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine. Instead, you promoted a lawyer to take over your football operation. So you saw this ending any differently? How? So. Also Hugh Jackson apparently is going to be back next year. I will also say that Hugh Jackson shares a tremendous amount of blame for the NFL record worst 1-27 mark. He has a lot of this mess on his very own hands, but it appears he is, for some reason, going to survive.
You look at a guy like Mike Zimmer, Jay Gruden. Both of those guys came out of Marvin Lewis's coaching, tree, so to speak, as those guys were pretty successful in Cincinnati. What has made Hugh Jackson culpable in this train wreck?
Well, you watch the team on Sunday. I mean, his game management, the way he's handled this on Kaiser, he's culpable in some of the decisions that have been made at quarterback, both in the draft as well as in the offseason acquisitions. Now, granted, there have also been some guys at that position that he has wanted that the front office did not deliver for him, but he's not blameless and he is not the victim here. I think that some are trying to paint you as the ultimate victim here, and that is not the case. He shows a tremendous amount of blame. Again, clock management, the way he handles some of the young players, especially Deshaun Kaiser, yo-yoing him in and out of the lineup early after saying one minute you support him, you're going to ride him through the highs and the lows, and the next minute you're benching him because he throws a couple of interceptions. So and the other thing too is when they hire the GM, you're basically putting together yet another shotgun marriage because you're saying, yeah, use your picks that you have, which there's a ton of them. Here's a ton of salary caps. So, by the way, Hugh Jackson's your coach, whether you like it or not. This is what this ownership group has done from day one. They go with these shotgun marriages, and they never work out.
Do they have talent on that team?
Yeah, they do. I think that what doomed Sasha Brown was the Carson Wentz trade. And then the final nail in his coffin was the failure and the embarrassment that followed from executing the trade for AJ McCarron, which clearly showed that ownership was in Hugh Jackson's corner, and for whatever reason, the Browns weren't able to get their paperwork into the league office in time to consummate that deal before the trade deadline. But when you look at this roster right now, Bill, I mean, you got Myles Garrett, who has battled injuries in his rookie season, but he has shown a lot of promise. He leads the team in sacks with 5, and he's only played in 6 games. Tight end David Njoku, the very raw rookie out of Miami that they traded up for in the back end of the first round of the draft. He's got 4 touchdowns. That's a franchise record for a rookie tight end. He's shown his ability to make some plays. The jury, I think, is still out on last year's first-round pick, Corey Coleman. He's broken his hand a couple of times. That has set him back. But when he's been on the field, he has, you know, shown some flash and some, you know, some promise. I think the biggest problem for the Browns is they don't have enough talent to compete at this level, and that's why they are where they are.
Yeah, there's only really a couple of guys on this team that are making any kind of money. If I'm not mistaken, it's Joe Thomas and what's the other one, the other kind, Jamie Collins, right? Jamie Collins is making dead cap money. I think he's got a boatload of money coming to him.
Yeah, there's a lot of dead cap. You know, Kenny Britt was a bad signing this offseason. He has been a problem child on the field from a production standpoint. In my opinion, he's not been a very good influence in the locker room. You're looking for good quality veteran presence. Kenny Britt is not it. Again, notch in the good column. They brought in Kevin Zeitler, the guard from Cincinnati, as well as J.C. Treader, whom you're familiar with,
right,
up there in Green Bay. They signed him this offseason to be their center. Unfortunately, Joe Thomas got hurt this year. They got a young kid, Spencer Drango, you know, filling in for him. Sean Coleman is the young right tackle that they have. So the tackle position that Joe Thomas is out, it's a little weak. But overall, you know, they did address the offensive line, and you know, a notch against Hugh Jackson. They wanted to run the ball this year. You know, that's all we heard about all offseason. Young quarterbacks, you know, inexperienced in the position, so we're going to lean on our running game. And if you look what the Cleveland Browns have done this year, they've done everything but lean on their running game. They've got a dynamic player in Duke Johnson. They still don't know how to use him properly. Isaiah Crowell, who could be, I think it's a restricted free agent next year. You know, they inconsistently using him. So to me, those are a couple more strikes against Hugh Jackson. But it is the youngest football team in the league, and they certainly look like it every Sunday.
Darrell Ryder, the Browns reporter for 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, chatting with us on the line, giving us a breakdown of the Cleveland Browns, the next opponent for the Green Bay Packers. Talk to us about the rookie. Their first pick was Jabril Peppers this year, playing safety. And how has he looked?
The problem with Jabril is that they keep playing him 30 yards away from the line of scrimmage. Now, the reason that defensive coordinator Greg Williams says they're doing that is to protect against a big play. Well, they're not presenting a whole lot of big plays. That's just me. When he was at Michigan, he played in the box. He made plays. Here, he's not playing in the box, and so he's not making a lot of impactful plays. He didn't practice again today. He's got an injury he's kind of trying to work through and deal with here. His status for Sunday is unclear, but I see him as a potential playmaker when you look at the overall picture. And again, that's a positive check mark in, you know, Sashi Brown's column and the work that he was able to do in his brief stint. So I like Jabril Peppers a lot. I loved him at Michigan. I think he has the opportunity to be a dynamic playmaker. Once again, though, if the coaching staff uses him properly.
How has Greg Williams' defense? I mean, his defense is pretty good. I mean, it's not a pushover. I really thought they'd be better offensively when they secured the offensive line. I agree with you. Injuries have decimated them, but I really thought they'd be better offensively. But how has this defense been able to? Because the defense has put them in some pretty good positions throughout the season. Now, granted, they've given up some big plays, but that side of the football is maybe a player or two away from being much, much better, where they're not the train wreck that the team appears to be.
Yeah, and they've lost some players, too. They've lost Jamie Collins for the season. He just had, we found out, MCL surgery. He tore his MCL, so he just had surgery. And his season's done. Emmanuel Ogba, very promising young defensive end. Another one of Sashi Brown's draft picks a year ago. It was a fantastic bookend with Myles Garrett. I think he had 4 sacks this season. He is done for the season as well. So they've sustained some injuries on that side of the football, and the problem for Greg Williams unit right now is the red zone defense. It's the worst in the National Football League. Basically, if the Packers get to the 20 on Sunday, they're guaranteed points. The Browns just, they don't get stops inside the 20-yard line. They don't force turnovers. They don't get, you know, 4 down stops. It hasn't happened a lot this year. So if you get to the 20, you're coming away with a minimum of 3 points, but most likely you are going to come away with 7. And again, that's a big reason why this team can't win, because, in spurts, the defense has played well. Their run defense is very much improved. They are getting more pressure on the quarterback. So you can break it down from an analytical standpoint and say, yes, the Browns on that side of the football are a lot closer than they are on the offensive side, Bottom line, though, the only stat that matters is the scoreboard, and the Browns give up a ton of points.
Real quick before I let you go, I did start out by talking about this whole parade thing. And how are the fans taking this? Are they just looking at something to grasp onto, or how are they looking at all of this?
Yeah, it's pretty miserable for Browns fans here in Cleveland. It's been like this for 19 years. 88 wins, 212 losses since 1999. You know, since the Haslams have taken over, it's been a complete unmitigated disaster. Since 2012, they've won 19 football games since October of 2012. The winless season parade, the perfect season parade, whatever they're calling it. That's just this, you know, their way of their coping mechanism, if you will. Is, you know, if we can't have a Super Bowl parade in Cleveland, which we've never had, we might as well have one to honor their inability to win a game. I've been making the joke that if the Browns actually win a game this season, they ought to have a parade for that, because that would be an accomplishment. But the Browns fan is using snark and sarcasm to cope with what has become the worst franchise in the league.
Man, I wish you the best of luck, because at this point, I kind of feel sorry for what's going on in Cleveland. I really, really do, man. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, there are fans that wish that we had the Packers arrangement here in Cleveland, where the fans actually owned the team, because from day one, when the franchise came back as an expansion team, the NFL put them behind the eight ball, and the league has dipped their nose in a couple of times to try and help out. John Collins in the mid-2000s came in here. That was a disaster from the league. They helped hook Haslam up with Joe Banner. That only lasted a year. So when the league has tried to stick their nose in and try and help things along, hasn't helped either. So the NFL not doing Cleveland any favors since this team's come back.
Good stuff, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
My pleasure. Thanks, Ron.
Thanks, Daryl. Talk to you soon. Daryl Ryder, he is the Browns reporter for 92.3 FM, The Fan in Cleveland, giving us the breakdown on the Browns. Makes you feel a little bit good about the Packers matchup with the Browns coming up this weekend. But I don't take anything for granted. You got to get a win. I mean, that's the number one focus. It doesn't matter if it's – we all pick the Packers to win, and especially since the fact that, you know, Brett Hundley has played better on the road than he has at home. So I'm going to say Brett Hundley's going to have a better game. But I think you still kind of hold your breath going into this one until the lead and the win is secure. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.